Want to put that seventh trumpet up for us? If you turn to the book of Revelation, please. If we can just pray now, get me out of the way, see what the Lord has to say. Lord, we thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity we have just to open your word. Father, my prayer is that you will move me out of the way, that you have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Father, we thank you for your word. It is true. We thank you for those of us who need comfort. We pray, Lord, that you will comfort us. We thank you, Lord, for those that need conviction, those of us who need conviction. I pray you would convict us, Lord, that we may be used by you. And we pray now that you will open the word through me, that others may be taught, and that I may learn. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, praise God. We're going to do, we have to run back real quick on the seventh trumpet. We have the total control and dominance of the Lord Jesus Christ starts here. We have Israel fleeing. And we have the opening of the seven bowls when we look at the seventh trumpet, which is the seven bowls. We're going to see that God is going to turn loose his power. Thus, he's going to turn loose Satan's power. We're going to talk a little bit about the dragon today. Well, we'll talk a lot about the dragon today. But in order to close out chapter 11 to go into chapter 12, we want to read quickly, and I want to throw one point at you to, I believe, eliminate a lot of discussion that's been going on that you hear over and over and over again about the Ark of the Covenant of God. Who really have the Ark of the Covenant? Is it true that the Catholic Church has it hidden somewhere? Is it true that the nation of Israel has it hidden somewhere? Was it true that the Ethiopian Jews that came back 30,000 strong in one night to Jerusalem, do they have it? There's been all kinds of arguments and talking about where is the covenant of God. I think if we would read our scriptures and read the Bible, we can eliminate a lot of discussion. Amen. I also think that a lot of times we believe the Bible because we don't know what it says. And when we find out what it really says, we're not that excited about it. Amen. So let's read real quickly here. Beginning in chapter 11, we got a lot of verses. We're going to try to get through 12. Amen. Well, don't laugh now. That's not a way to treat the pastor. I'm very sensitive. You could just totally kill all my concentration laughing at the pastor like that. And the seventh angel, verse 15, Revelation chapter 11. Again, there is no S on Revelation. It's the Lord Jesus Christ is the revelation. Understanding to focus on him makes the book of Revelation a little better and a little easier to understand. We are talking about God's coming to take over the world. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, we saw him as the head of the church, and he who has died, he came as a humble servant, a savior. From chapter 4 on, he says those days are over. He's coming as a conquering king. He's coming as a killing judge. He's coming to take no prisoners of those that do not belong to him, and he's going to kill everyone that doesn't. He's going to go into the thousand-year reign of Christ with only believers, and he's going to rule with an iron hand and an iron rod. He would take no guff. He would take no rebellion. He's going to stuff it out immediately, and there would no one be living with the aspects of sin. That is who is coming back. Are we all on the same page? Amen. It is not the Jesus Christ that the average church is trying to portray. Verse 15, And the seven angels sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Can anyone tell me how long forever and ever is? It's an awfully long time. It means it will not change. No one is going to come along and decide, I don't like this. The reason why we have talked over and over and over again about the four world kingdoms, and now we're talking about the fifth world kingdom, the dominating kingdom that is coming, the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, being that fifth world kingdom. The reason why there will never be another kingdom after this one is because the first four world kingdoms only destroyed representatives of the king of the world. When this world kingdom comes, the fifth world domination, he is going to destroy and wipe out the world king leader, Satan himself. The only four were just representatives of Satan's power. If you really want to kill a snake, kill his head. Genesis chapter 3 and 4, of course. Can I get a witness? I want to make sure you're awake now, because we're going into some heavy-duty stuff. Hello. I'm working hard here, Pastor. Working hard here. Saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God, Almighty, who art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou should give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them who destroy the earth. God is allowing the world to get a taste here at the seventh trumpet, at the beginning of the third woe, at the beginning of the seventh bowls, that he is the ultimate. There is no other greater. As for you and I think it's important that we take time to really allow this to settle in, to sit in, and to concentrate upon this truth that there's nothing greater than Jesus Christ. All the other little nitpicky things that we can get caught up in is absolutely nothing. If you understand who you got with you. Why does God allow problems and things and people to remain in your life if he is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords? Why does he let them stay? Why does he just not remove them from you and I? He said, I'm going to give you two examples. I believe in the book of Revelation. He said, number one, I leave things in your life, circumstances and people in your life, to let you know that that is nothing compared to judgment. Wait a minute, you didn't get that. I know you didn't get that, because if you got that, you would have gone, woohoo. If you're on the east side, you would have been going. God says, I'm going to leave things in your life as a believer and as a non-believer to let you see if you think these things are bad, just wait to judgment. That's one thing. Number two, God, I think, leaves things in our lives so that you can understand how wonderful the absence of them is going to be. Talk to the pastor, will you? How many of you have ever been stuck with a pen, a very sharp object on the east side? You know how good it feels when you pull it back out? And you remember how it was before you stuck it in? God said, oftentimes I leave things in your life just to let you know what it's going to be like when I come and reign. And I'm going to let things stay in your life just so you can get a small picture that if you don't accept me as your Lord and Savior, you're going to wish you had those things that drove you nuts. That was free. Now here comes a biblical truth. Verse 19. And the temple of God was open in heaven. Where was the temple of God open? In heaven. What period of time is this? It is the third and a half year during the tribulation. Can't hear you. It is a third and a half year during the tribulation that heaven, the temple in heaven, is going to be open. Look what's in the temple of heaven. In heaven. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his covenant. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderclaps and an earthquake and great hail was given. It's getting ready for the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years of tribulation. God is getting ready to turn it loose upon the world. But I want to ask you, where is the ark of the covenant according to Revelation chapter 11, verse 19? In heaven. Quit arguing about where it is. It is not down here. I believe when God allowed Rome to destroy Jerusalem and wipe it all out from brick to brick, God pulled the ark out and brought it to heaven, and that's where it's been the whole time. That's why no one's been able to find it. Anyone been exploring heaven lately? And most people that have hadn't been able to come back to tell us about it. Can I get a witness? Amen. Amen. I mean, all they got to do is read the Bible. You can answer a lot of debate. Whew, my goodness. Okay, now we're ready for chapter 12. That's why you got to read everything in the Bible, because right where you think it's been said before, it's been repeated, I know that, and you skip it, God throws a little biblical nugget in there that you would miss if you don't study it. Can you hear you? Anyone ever skipped over genealogies? Oh, the biblical exercise of just being happy and excited about reading name after name after name. Names we can't even pronounce. Amen. We didn't have guys named like that in my neighborhood. Zerubbabel. We would have rubbed Zerubbabel out in my neighborhood. But if you read the genealogies, right in the middle of the most boring stuff, God throws biblical, spiritual nuggets and truths in there that you won't find unless you read it. Why? Because God don't waste words. And if it's in the book, he expects you and I to listen, believe, and obey it. Okay, can't hear you. Amen. Here we go. Those of you that missed last week, you're going to have to catch up real quick, because we're going to sprint through the first 6 verses of chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. There is basically 6, according to how you want to count them. There's 6 or 7 wonders or miracles between here and chapter 12 and the end of the book of Revelation. This is the first one. Second one is in verse 3. You see it as we go through them. We're going to see if we can point those out as we go through. The last one is in chapter 19. It's going to be important for us to walk through these. First one, beginning with verse 12. There was a wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Everyone is trying to understand who this woman is, and they put their own special emphasis on who this woman is. I believe the woman is Israel itself. Many have tried to make it, the Catholic Church has tried to make this woman, of course, the Virgin Mary. Christian Science has tried to make this woman Mary Becker Eddy. She's the founder of Christian Science. And the child out of Mary Becker Eddy was Christian Science, religion. Some have even gotten more spiritual and tried to make this woman the church. I think there's a problem with each one of them, especially when it says that Jesus Christ came out of the church. I got a problem with that one. Amen? There's no way that Christ came out of the church. The church is here because of Jesus Christ. Amen? So I think that you can spiritualize a lot of it. Yeah, a lot of it can relate to Mary. None of it to Mary Becker. Amen. And some of it can go to the church. But, I mean, the other stuff, I think you're pushing. So I think we're going to bow down. And let's look at a couple of verses to say, is this really the nation of Israel? Look, it was a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Go with me real quick to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. I think this is symbolic of the nation of Israel. And symbolic that the sun goes all the way back to the promise in Genesis after the curse. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Genesis chapter 37, beginning with verse 8, talking about Joseph having a dream. And his brethren said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream. You know, sometimes it's just best to keep your mouth shut about your dreams. Can't hear you. Especially when you got some nasty brothers. Maybe some nasty sisters too, amen. We don't want to forget them. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brothers. You spoiled brat. And he was. Joseph of all of the kids of Jacob was just spoiled. He was so spoiled that God said, I got a plan for you, and the only way I can accomplish my godly plan is to get you out of your family. Huh? Talk to me, you Christian families. Joseph was so spoiled by his dad. He was a spoiled brat. And God says, I got great things I want to do with you. And the only way I can make you the man of God you need to be is to get you away from your father. You know what? It would break my heart if I believed that God had great plans for my children. But the only way he can make them godly is to get them away from me. You ought to ask yourself that question. Look at this. I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obedience to me, bowed down to me, in other words. I am the big cheese. And he told it to his father. Oh, well, not enough to talk to your brothers. I'm going to go tell Papa. That's French. Didn't know I was bilingual, huh? And he told it to his father and to his brethren and to his father. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that you have, and boy? I say they would say it in the South. Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come to bow down before you? And all his brothers envied him, but his father observed the same. The sun was the father. The moon was the brothers. No, the moon was his mother. Pastor's trying to fool you. And the stars was his brothers. Now go back over here to Revelation, verse 1. And there was a woman clothed with the sun and the moon and with how many stars? 12. You take all the brothers, including Joseph who had the dream, and you got the sun, you got the moon, and you got the 12 stars representing Israel. And that's why I believe, as we're going to go through symbolically through the rest of Revelation, that the woman definitely is the nation of Israel, and the son born of that woman is definitely Jesus Christ. We're going to break it down here in a minute. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, verse 3. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, power and authority, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. Meaning he thought he had perfect power and authority, which he does on the earth. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven with him, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. Woo! All the way back to Genesis, during the tribulation. Ooh, I'm getting ahead of myself. All the way back to Genesis, during the curse, where it says you're going to give birth to a child, and that child's heel will be bruised, but in bruising his heel, he will kill your head. The child was Jesus Christ. The bruised heel was the crucifixion, and the crucifixion is what kills Satan's power on the earth forever. Are you flowing with me? You see it? Huh? It's good stuff. Amen. Now watch this. This is really good. He was waiting to devour the child when he came out. I don't want to get too far ahead of it because I'm excited about this. So I'm going to just do like they said on the video up here. Get my right breathing before I give birth to this truth. Amen. Now, folks, I want to ask you a question. How much influence do you think Satan has? Listen. How much influence do you think Satan has when he can influence a third of all the angels to go with him against God? Now, who do you think Satan is to play around with? I can't hear you, church. If this boy is bad enough to get angels who is in the very presence of God, who has seen his power, who has seen his majesty, who has seen the glory of God Almighty, to go against God, you can see why he doesn't have very much trouble making idiots of the world. And it says that the deception will be so great during the tribulation period that if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit and pulling believers out of here, they too would be deceived. Now, I'm going to tell you, now you can understand why believers could be deceived if God didn't put the block on them and get them out of here during the tribulation period. Because if he can pull a third of the angels out with him, what is mere man got to do to fight him? Just think about it. This is a bad boy, Satan. Be running around playing, I hate these. Excuse me, but I'm going to let it. I hate these charismatic brothers that try to make light of what's going on. Only thing you got to do, boy, you just get there and pray and you fast and seek in tongues, and Satan's got to go. Satan will kick you around on the east side. He would literally hurt you deeply. Satan is a bad boy. I'm going to show you how bad Satan is, folks. I'm going to show you how great the deception can be if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit and God putting his block around us, his hedge around us. Satan wanted Job too, you know. And he says, I can't get him. God says, well, you know my servant Job. Yeah, I know your servant Job. I can't get to him because he got a hedge around him. Why did Satan know he had a hedge around him? He'd been trying to get through it. Oh, great is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Don't get caught up in what Satan can do and not do as long as you know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you better get worried quick. Boy, come along and mess you up, and you'll think he's doing you a favor. Why do you think they call it dope? You dope. It's Satan's power over you. You belong to him if you don't belong to God. And he has no love for you. He says, if I'm going down, I'm going to take as many as I can with me. And too bad. Can't hear you. And here we little Christians are running around trying to be sensitive and loving and understanding and not being pushy to the non-believing world. This man is out to kill them. He ain't worried about whether or not you know verses or don't know verses. He's sitting around. He will push. You Christians, you need to be loving, sensitive, so I can take these people to hell and burn them up. And we feel so good about our sensitivity. Get off of me. You're making me throw up with your sensitivity. Man, I'm in the middle of a battle here. I'm in the middle of a war. I'm going against the power of this age. Principalities beyond. It's not flesh and blood we're dealing with. If he can bring down a third of the angels who was created by God, lived with God, saw God, you better understand who we're fighting against. And you keep up with your evangelism 101, easy believism, and don't want to offend anybody. I don't have time for you. And if it offends you, this is not the church for you. There's other churches out there that love your ways. So please go get a seat there and give this yours up to somebody else. God is coming back and he's going to kill folks. And I'd rather make them mad at me than have a God angry at them. I'm going to do it in love. I'm going to do it in sensitivity. I'm going to make them laugh while I do it. But I'm serious as a heart attack when I go after those that don't know God, because I know the enemy. And he's coming. You know he's a bad boy to pull a third of the angels out of heaven with him. Look at this. And she brought forth a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God, to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God. And they should feed her there 1,260 years. We know it's during the tribulation period because we're talking about 42 months. We're talking about 1,260 days. We're talking about 3.5 months. We're talking about 42 weeks. Guys, got to keep up with the pastor. Now check this out. Verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Of all places. There's a war in heaven going to happen in the 3.5 year of tribulation. Can't hear you, folks. Come now. That's courtesy response. I can't hear you. I don't like that church. There's bickering going on in that church. Well, you don't want to go to heaven. I can't hear you. Before Satan's kicked out, that's not going to be just bickering. That's going to be an all-out fight. Can't hear you. What do you think God is going to allow the greatest temptation and fights taking place? It's going to be in the office of a church. Oh, people, I just want to get into ministry. I would love to work for the church office. No, you don't. It'd be so wonderful to be at the church office and working out.
Folks, there's more stuff come through the church office than you ever want to shake a stick at. Why? Because that is control central. Heaven is control central. And it's going to be a war in heaven. Go up and tell God you don't like that. I just want peace in my home. Then be ungodly. Just be ungodly. Satan ain't gonna mess with no one as bad as he is. Because he don't want to disturb you. He wants you to come the way he's going. But just try to have a righteous home. Man, it wasn't like this before we became Christians. Hark! We're talking about King Jimmy here. I didn't have this struggle, man, when I was dating as a non-believer. Soon as we become Christian, just try to live righteous, and sex becomes even greater problem. Why? Because it's going to be a war between good and evil in any righteous place. That's why the final battle, evil and good, has been fighting since mankind fell. Demons and Satan has always tried to destroy the believers and the world. Well, righteous angels has always been given the responsibility to protect. That battle has been going on. It says it will not finally end until the great battle in heaven and the third and a half year of the book of, in the book of Revelation. And it says, Michael, going to walk up to Satan and say, guess what? Your time in heaven is up. Do you understand, even to this very day, Satan has the right to go to heaven? Morally, he was thrown out, not physically. That's not going to happen until Revelation 12 here. And if he's not thrown out of heaven, he sure got a lot of access to believers. I can't hear you. To Christian ministries. I can't hear you. And don't give me this self-righteous stuff about it should be restful and peaceful and Christian can get along. Just try to live righteous. And all these false things that we try to set up and try to protect ourselves from the world. Now, I have nothing against Christian school. Now, you listen to me. I have nothing against Christian school. I love Christian school. I love secular school, public school. But don't think you're going to protect your kid because you homeschool them or send them to Christian schools. You are blind and you are fooling yourself. If God cannot stop a fight in heaven over good and evil, he's not going to stop because you go to homeschool or you send your kids to a Christian school.
Are you glad you came today or what? I just can't believe you're just loving this so much, aren't you? That pastor's sick. We should get a new one.
Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. Woo! Michael's going to step up to the plate. You know, Michael and Satan has had some big ones all through history. Michael knows that he can't deal with Satan by himself. Michael isn't as strong as Satan. You know that, right? The archangel Michael is underneath Satan. He was created underneath Satan. Jude chapter 9, New Testament. Michael came down to get the body of Moses. Satan says, you ain't going to get it. Boom, grabbed his body and held it. And Michael says he knew he better not rebuke Satan in his own name, so he did it in God's name. Is Satan a bad boy? What? I want to ask you a question. Even Michael says I got to use God to get over this dude. And why do you think you can get over him by your efforts?
by your scripture reading, by your building some protection around yourself.
Did I sound like a Baptist pastor then? Huh? Did.
Man, I may have to go there a couple more times before it's over.
Excuse me here. Pastor's got to keep waxing eloquently, but quickly. Daniel chapter 10. Angel had come down. Daniel was praying. And the angel had come down to give Daniel an answer. Satan grabbed my boy and held him up for 21 days. Wouldn't turn him loose. And the angel had to call on Michael to come down to help. And together, they broke loose Satan's grip. And the prayer got to them. Don't talk to me. About turning folks off. I'm too far gone. Because I know who the enemy is. I'm amazed at our military today. They stopped a war exercise in Australia because an emu was killed. I can't hear you. Oh, he was accidentally killed. Stop the tanks. Stop the guns. Stop the planes. Let's check out the emu. Oh, we're becoming men of war, aren't we? I wonder if China would stop the war if an emu is killed. We need warriors. I'm looking for a few good men. I want warriors around me because the enemy would destroy anybody else. What's this? He says. There was a fight. In verse 8. But the dragon and his angels didn't win. And they lost the fight, and they lost their place in heaven. Can't hear you. Got slammed. Michael picked my boy up, walked over to the edge and says, "Look like a long way down to me." Woof. Enjoy your trip. Yes. That's what the church need to be able to do with sin today. Body slam it when it sees it. Discipline it when it happens. Call it an account. Because a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. Because the enemy is behind sin. You enjoying this yet? Good stuff, isn't it? It's just spoken stuff, isn't it? And the great dragon was cast out. Ooh, look at verse 9. Three important aspects of verse 9. I wish we had time to really get into it. We don't even have time to get in 9. So we can't break it down. Amen. And the great dragon was cast out. The old serpent. That goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. The old serpent was Satan who entered the serpent who deceived Eve. All the way back to original sin, Adam and Eve, Satan was involved. Call the devil and Satan. Woo, look what it says. Who deceives the world. You know what Satan means? It means slanderer. The devil means slanderer. Satan means adversary. The old slandering adversary. And it says he deceives the whole world. Can't hear you. Anyone that don't belong to God, I hate to admit it, you are deceived. Oh, you can't relate to those biblical terms. Anyone that don't belong to God, you've been matrixed. Ooh, you got that one, didn't you? And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down from here. And before our God, day and night, he accused us. The great prosecuting attorney lost against the greatest, greatest defense attorney in all the world. It ain't Johnny Cochran. It ain't no Bailey. The Lord Jesus Christ is a great defense attorney, and he has thrown out the prosecutor out of heaven. Don't come back. You're not going to get excited. The pastor can get excited. But I got to save my voice. I have another sermon. Can't hear you, folks. Victory. Why do we have this victory? Victory is because of the coming Messiah. The reason why it's going to be a fifth world domination is because when Christ comes, he's going to wipe out he who is leading the rebellion the whole time. Look at verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. What's the second reason we know we got victory? The blood of the Lamb. What a defense! When everything else is going bad in the courtroom, when it looks like Satan's going to win, when Daniel Webster don't have enough words to beat him, the Lamb walks in the courtroom as a surprise witness, and the jury says, dismissed! Dismissed! I got to settle down because I'm going to croak up here. Oh, we got a courtroom deal going on, baby, but it's over. It's over, man. The Messiah's coming. Blood of the Lamb is on us. No jury in the world will convict you. Therefore, rejoice, you heaven. Listen to this. Ye that dwell in the heavens, rejoice, but woe. This is the third woe. This is the last one. This is the tribulation, great tribulation, the last 3.5 years. Woe to the ones on the earth because Satan is coming. He's been thrown out of heaven, and when he hits the ground, he is going to be wrath on steroids. He's going to kill everybody he can to keep from going with the Lord Jesus Christ, who just defeated him forever. What's this? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. He knows he only has 3.5 years left to take as many as he can with him when he hits the ground. Now, folks, understand me. Understand me. I understand the enemy. And I have no patience with those that don't, if you are a believer and you're playing spiritual niceties and you're not making a diddly squat difference and who gets to heaven. Amen. Have a good day.